It's good to be here today. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Boy, I've been debating for a little over a week, I guess, what to speak on. I think it's just been almost two weeks since Pastor asked me to speak. Not quite. But anyway, and it's Memorial Day weekend, and I've been trying to come up with something on Memorial, so we're going to try to do our best we can. But here's what I want you to think about a little bit today. With Memorial, I want you to think, am I a memorial? Am I a memorial? And when I say that, you know, a memorial is something that causes us to remember something. You know, we do have a memorial wall down here of names of those from Alamance County that's passed away in service. That's where they're going to have the memorial service tomorrow down here at that wall. But, you know, that old stone wall, whatever you want to call it, can't do much, can you? I mean, they put the names on there and people can go by and see it, and it makes them feel better about it and all kinds of things. But it can't do much. But I want you to think about, am I a memorial? And here's what I want you to think about, some of these things. And I don't know how I'm developing this, but it's just coming out this way. But, you know, if you think about it, we are doing a memorial service to the Lord today, aren't we? Why are we meeting on Sunday? That's the day the Lord resurrected from the dead. So we're doing a memorial service today, if you think about it. We're here in honor of him and in memory of him. But, you know, our lives, I think, need to be memorials. Let's read Psalm 135, and then we'll get into the message. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, all servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for inheritance, and heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. And thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people. He will repent himself concerning his servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Let's have another word of prayer. Our Father, we do praise thy holy name, that we could be at the house of God today. Thank you for the freedom that we have. The freedom that's been bought and paid for in a lot of ways. This nation has been paid for by wars that's went on. It's still here today because of thy grace. But Lord, also our freedom's been bought by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary for us. But yet he didn't stay there. He went to the tomb. And after the tomb, he resurrected and he sits today at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. How great is thy mercy. How good is thy grace upon us. Lord God, help us today to worship you in spirit and truth in this service. Lord, I thank you for the songs we sung. I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here. I thank you, Lord, for all the things that we've done. But Lord, help us right now to hear the word of God. Help it to be applied to our lives and to be used of thee. But Lord God, help us most of all to worship the Lord Jesus Christ today. In his name we pray. Amen. Can you go to the podium, Mike? Would it be better, Jeff? I feel better with the podium mic anyway. I hope you noticed the first four words and the last four words of this psalm. What does it say? Can you read it with me? Praise ye the Lord. Now, I started this study on this because verse 13, which I'm going to try to get into hopefully, where it says, "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations," of trying to work on a message for memorial. And I didn't really get what I wanted, but we got what the Lord wanted me to have today, I'm hoping. And that's what I've been praying for anyway. But you know, here in Psalm 135, and actually throughout all scripture, it is our duty to praise the Lord. It's our duty to praise the Lord. You know, if you think about it, like I said, a memorial service they're going to have down here is going to look at those names, maybe call off those names, whatever it's going to do. You know, they have that service about September the 11th or whatever, when they do that and they call all those names, right? I mean, you know, that's good. But you know, we need to be a memorial, I believe, for the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life. We need to be praising his name. Why? Like I said earlier, this nation wants to go away from that. It wants to say that's politically incorrect to talk about Jesus. That's politically incorrect to have that, because everybody has their own freedoms and everybody can do their own things. That's true. I'm glad we have those freedoms. But you know, this nation's freedom, I think, was started because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you? I believe the Lord God Almighty helped this nation to be what it is. You know, it's not perfect. We can look around us and know it's not perfect, right? There's a lot of things that goes on. But you know, the Lord God Almighty is perfect. He is perfect. Therefore, we need to praise his name. You know, if you look at this verse three times in verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, praise him." It's mentioned three different times. You know, I believe it's mentioned three different times because it has different aspects to it. It's praise him with respect to God, not merely his works, but praise him. Praise him. We do want to praise him. You know, I've been praising him since we've been getting this rain. My garden looks dry. I was thinking the other day, how does a farmer or gardener know that it's dry? The weeds are asking for water. The weeds aren't growing. They're asking for rain. But you know, you and I, we want to have things. We want to do things. But you know, we can't control it but so much, can we? I worked at my garden several hours a day last week through Thursday. And every time I'd get through, I'd say, "Now, Lord, I've done everything I can do. Please help me. But if there's something else I can do, Lord, show it to me." You know, because we don't know that we've done all we can do. We try to do all we can do. My problem is trying to keep the deer out of it. But I ask the Lord to do that. But anyway, but you see, we have this here where we need to praise the Lord. I'm praising the Lord for the rain that we got. I'm praising the Lord for his goodness. I'm praising the Lord for everything that he does. We need to be that way. We need to be praising his name. So we praise him because of his respect for him. But also we praise him with respect to ourselves. It says, "Praise ye the Lord." Isn't that bringing ourselves into it? Isn't it making it personal? Isn't it giving us a relationship with him? So I believe we need to praise him with respect to ourselves. But also we need to praise him with respect to others. Because it says here, "Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord." Ye servants of the Lord. How many people are servants of the Lord? Everybody that's a Christian is a servant of the Lord, right? Everybody. Nobody can be counted out. And you say, "I'm not a servant." Yes, you are. I think if you walk around with a smile on your face, you're serving the Lord, don't you? And I believe that's the way we need to be. We need to be that way. We need to do that. So we see that here. Praise him, I think, gets personal. It gets close in his relationship. But he talks about the servants here. You know, it's a privilege to serve him. It's a privilege to be his servant, his worker, whatever it is. Therefore, you and I need to serve him because we have that privilege. Praise him. We need to praise him because we have that power to serve him. We have power to serve him. You know, I don't know if I'm not going to get up in the morning, do you? When I get up, I need to say, "Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the sleep that I got last night. Thank you, Lord, for this day," right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also, look at verse 2. It says, "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord in the courts of the house," or "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord in the courts of the house of our God." What's it saying? "Ye that are in the courts of the Lord, praise him. Ye that are in the house of God, praise him." Listen, if God doesn't get praise at his house, where's he going to get it at, right? You and I need to praise him. You know, how many times have you heard me say, "Let's worship the Lord" in this song when I'm leading the singing? We need to do that every time, don't we? We need to worship the Lord in the songs. We need to worship the Lord in the fellowship, I say. We need to worship the Lord in the preaching of his word. We need to worship the Lord all the time. We need to praise his holy name and thank him. Why? Boy, he did something that nobody else could do, right?
He gave us eternal life freely by giving himself and sacrificing himself. Praise ye the Lord. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise unto his name, for it is pleasant. Praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good. You know what? Is the Lord good? The Lord is good. How much? All the time, right? All the time. You know, I don't have everything I want, right? Pastor Willis used to say, my wanter's not sanctified, right? My wanter's not sanctified either. But God is good, and I have everything that I need. I have everything that God gave me that I can use in my life, and I'm glad of that. Praise his name. Praise his name, because he's good. What does that mean? He's loving. His goodness is excellent. He's able to do all or anything that's needed. He is sufficient. His goodness is his glory. His goodness is his glory. You know, God wants to be good to us. But you know what? There's times I have sin in my life and have to go to ask God for forgiveness, right? But you know what he does? He's good because he forgives me, right? Isn't that good? You know, sometimes if you go to somebody and ask them for forgiveness because you've done something wrong against them, you don't really know if they truly forgive you or not, do you? But I'm going to tell you something. If you go to the Lord, the Bible tells us that he is faithful and just and will forgive. Praise his holy name for his goodness and forgiveness. Gosh, God is so good. God is so good. But also look at the last part of this verse. It says, sing praises in his name, for it is pleasant. It is pleasant. What does this mean? You know what I think of when I think of this word when it says it is pleasant? It is heaven upon earth. Ever thought of that? When you're praising the Lord, when you're praising his name, it's heaven upon earth. Why is that? Why is that? It's agreeable. It's something that we get goodness out of. I mean, we get something out of it. It's our duty to enjoy it, but it's profitable to us when we praise the Lord, isn't it? Doesn't it make our spirits feel better when we praise the Lord? It's profitable to us. Why? The Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of us, when we start praising the Lord Jesus, he helps us have that feeling that makes us feel better. And I know I'm not saved by feelings, but those feelings sure are good sometimes, aren't they? You've already seen me up here today. My cup overfloweth, right? Why? Not because of what I've done, because of what he's done. The goodness. It is pleasant to praise his name because of his goodness. It's pleasant to praise his name because of what he's done. It's pleasant to praise his name because of who he is. It's pleasant. It's something good for us to do. Look at verse 4. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. You know, he hath chosen. You know, we see these things here. We praise the Lord because of his goodness. We praise the Lord because it's pleasant. We praise the Lord because he hath chosen. I don't understand why God chose me, but he did. I can't understand it. Not only do I not know why, I can't understand it, right? And a lot of people want to get off on that and try to have tangents and I think use that in a different way, in a different fashion. It says that God's only got so many to be saved, and I don't believe that. I believe everybody and anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. You've heard me tell this story before. I'll never forget one time at a church. I was down at an altar helping to lead somebody to the Lord, and the guy looked at me and he says, I think the Lord's quit dealing with me. He said, I think it's too late. And I didn't know what to do. I probably was only in my early 20s. And I looked at the pastor there at the church. And I said, I don't know what to tell him. I don't know what to do. And the pastor came up to him and said a statement that I've never forgot. He says, if you came down here to be saved, you can still be saved. Because that desire is still inside of you. Well, I've never forgot that. And I believe, and I may be wrong. And I could be wrong. Don't ask my wife. She'll tell you how many times I'm wrong. But I believe that a person may get saved on his deathbed, and we may think that person never makes it to heaven. We may see him in heaven one day and think, how did you get here? Well, he got saved on his deathbed because of something somebody said to him, because the thought came in his mind, because God can do a work. He did it to the thief on the cross, didn't he, at the last moment? God can do it, and God still does it today. And I believe he can, and I believe he is. We have this verse here where it says, hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. You know, it talks about Jacob and Israel here. You know what happened between Jacob and Israel? Jacob, God chose, and God said, I'm going to do a work through you. But he changed his name to Israel. You know what that means? He brought him from being worthless to being worth something. Wow. Made him a treasure for God. One day, I was lost and undone, and I was useless. I was worthless. I was no good. And God saved me. He made me something, didn't he? He made you something. Changed your name. And I'm glad I'm called a Christian today. I'm glad it's that way. Ephesians 1 verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He hath chosen us. As again, I'll say, I can't explain that. I don't understand it, but it's in the Word of God, and I believe it, and I trust in it. He's chosen us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Are we praising the Lord with our life? Are we praising the Lord with our daily activities? Are we praising the Lord when we're around people and letting them know that we're a child of God? Let them know that we are his peculiar treasure. Look at verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. For I know that the Lord is great. You know, I like that. I like that where he says, for I know. Don't you? I like to know things. I definitely don't know enough. I don't know all that I need to know in some instances, in some places, in some times. There's been times I've been trying to get something done, and I say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Please help me. And he does. But you see, I like this where the psalmist says, I know that the Lord is great. What does he mean by great? He means he knows of no limit of time or place. God is so great that he has no limit of time or place, does he? You know, God can be with me, and he can be with you, and he can be with you, and he can be with you, can't he? He has no limit of time or place. So he is great. He is great. Look at his greatness in verse 6. It says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Whatsoever the Lord pleased. Now you say that and you think, you know, can the Lord do everything he pleases to do? The Lord does everything he pleases to do. But it's a little different than me and you, right? If we got to do everything we please to do, there'd be a lot of mistakes and a lot of errors. There'd be a lot of problems. I look back in my life, and I don't know how many times I've done this lately. I've done it too many times probably. But I can look back and see where the hand of the Lord was leading me. And if I'd have took the path I wanted to take, I'd have been in the wrong place. I'd have went the wrong way. I guarantee you that if I'd done some of the things I wanted to do back in my early days, I wouldn't be here where I am today serving the Lord. And I don't mean that to pat myself on the back. I'm talking about how much the Lord has done for me. What the Lord has done for me to get me where I am. And he did some things that I thought, I mean, back when they were being done to me, I thought, boy, this is wrong. I want this. But God saw fit that I didn't get that. And I can go way back into my early teens, and I can see where the Lord was working to put me where I am today. And I'm glad that he did. And I'm glad that he's still doing it today. But the Lord pleased to do the things that were in heaven. Think about this for a little bit. Where does the Lord do the things that he pleased? In heaven. What does that mean? In eternity. In the earth. What does that mean? In present. Right now. The Lord does what he pleases right now. In the seas, I believe that means in trials, because when you get in the sea and the waves toss you back and forth, some of you might get sick, right? You know, whatever. But I'm saying in the seas, you have trials. But then it says in all deep places, I believe he's working out his will and even in troubles. I think of when Paul and Silas was in the prison at the midnight hour and they were singing praises unto the Lord God Almighty. Can you imagine the deep place they were in at that moment? In a prison, in shackles, but yet they were still praising the Lord at midnight. And God did a work in their life, right? Can God still do that today? He's the same God today as he was in the days of Paul and Silas. Same God today as he was in the days of Abraham. Same God today as he was in the days of Moses and Noah and all those. He's the same God. And he still works and he still does what he pleases to do in all these places. But look in verse 7. He says, he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. You know what that's talking about? The vapors that go up and make the clouds and the clouds that create the rain. He causes them to do the work that he wants them to do. We're having it right now. We're having a lot of clouds around. The vapors are in there, and sometimes the rain gets let out over us and over you and over me, but sometimes it doesn't get let out over us. It may be somewhere else. I was watching Atlanta Braves last night, which I always like to do. I was watching Atlanta Braves last night, and they were saying there's a storm going around us. It's going to miss us. That's what the announcers are saying. Well, within a few minutes, there was a downpour and lightning and thundering, and they had to stop the game for a little while. But you see, you don't know, but it comes around. But God's controlling that. God's doing it. It says here, he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. Think about it. You know, when there's rain coming down, there's lightning in the sky. The rain don't take care of the lightning. The lightning don't take care of the rain. God's taking care of all that, isn't he? But then it says he bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. The wind comes from God and does the will of God, does the work of God. This week I was working in my garden and I get a good breeze go by and I sit there and I say, thank you, Lord, for the breeze. Thank you, Lord, because I needed that. And God supplies. And God takes care of the need. He puts that wind where he wants it to go. The wind does the will of God because he controls it. You and I can't control it, can we? But the Lord God Almighty surely can. Should we praise his name? We should praise his name. Now I'm going to look at verses 8 through 13 for a minute. I want to read these and I want to share something with you, hopefully. Because I'm not going to be able to spend time to talk about all these verses. If I did, we'd be here till noon. We better not do that, had we? But verse 8 says, who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast? Who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants? Who smote great nations and slew mighty kings? Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for a heritage and heritage unto Israel, his people. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. I want you to look at something. This verse 13, I think, comes from Exodus chapter 3. I think I got it marked. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Let's start with verse 13 of Exodus 3. It says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Here's Moses when God's asking him to go do a work. He's talking to him out of the burning bush here. And he says, what am I going to say when I go to him? What is his name? What shall I say his name? And God says back to him in verse 14 of Exodus 3. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hast sent me unto you. But look at verse 15. And God said, moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. And this is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. You know, that verse is the same verse that we read here in verse 13, I think. And I think that's where it comes from. You know, these psalms were songs that the Israelites sang, and they put the music and they did things with them, but they were honoring the Lord God Almighty. And they would take these scriptures, take these things from other places and put them in the psalms. And that's what they've done here. Verse 13 talks about this, but here's what I want you to think about a little bit with verses 8 through 12. You know, God does whatsoever he wants. He does it wheresoever he wants. He has great power. But in these verses, he also, you see him here, that there's no power that he can't control. And he controls all those powers. But in these verses, he's also showing how he can control the nations. He can control the people. He can control the kings. He can take care of the kings and do all that needs to be done. And he's doing that today. You and I might not realize that, but he's doing it today. I don't care what people say. And sometimes we don't understand it. Just like I said, in my life, I can look back and there's things that when it happened, I didn't understand it, didn't know why it happened, didn't know what went on. But I can look back now and say, thank you, Lord, that it happened that way. Thank you, Lord, that you took care of that. Thank you, Lord, that you protected me, even though I didn't know you were protecting me. And that God's doing the same thing right now with this nation. We need to keep praying for this nation. We need to keep this nation by being on our knees and praying unto the Lord to protect it and keep it where it ought to be for him. I know it's not where it ought to be, but it's closer than some nations are, isn't it? It's closer than a lot of nations. You know, I'm glad that we can see that God controls and does all these things. But think about it. The name of the Lord endures forever here in verse 13. It endures forever. He is perfect today as he always has been. What did it say? Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. How long is forever? It's longer than you and I is going to know in this life, isn't it? We won't be here forever. Thinking about that, today would have been my dad's 94th birthday. He'd have been 94 today. And I think about sometimes when I'm talking about memorial. I got a brother sitting out here that whenever we go to Roxborough and see some of our relatives, Fox relatives, they say, well, as long as he's living, Morris Fox is living. He's a memorial to my dad because that's what they say. But you know, years ago, saw somebody that I hadn't seen in years. And I forget how old I was. I probably was in my 30s, late 30s, maybe early 40s. And I saw somebody I hadn't seen probably since my 20s. And they had moved to Georgia and they were back up here. And they looked at me and they said, boy, you sure are like your dad. And I thought, wowee. But anyway, but I'll tell you something else about being a memorial. My dad, Doug, you can testify to this, I'm sure, would work in a garden and hoe and hoe and hoe and hoe. And all the things I was doing in my life at that time, I was playing on ball teams and I was dating and I was doing this, doing that. And I was thinking, how could he spend so much time out there in the garden? You know what I do now? I go out in my garden, I hoe and hoe and hoe. You know, we can all be a memorial in our own way. But here's what I want you to think about today. Am I a memorial to the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I a memorial for the Lord God Almighty? When I say that, you know, most memorials are something you can go touch, something you can see, and something that helps you to be in remembrance of something. But you and I need to be a memorial today in this world, in this life, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? It's needed, isn't it? It's needed. How many people are probably in church today? Probably the majority are not in church today. And then how many are in churches that aren't teaching and preaching the truth today? Wow, when we start going that far, it's really out there. But you and I need to be that memorial to help get people to come to church, help get people to come to the Lord, help to get people saved for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that can save them. We can't. But if we can be that memorial to show them what he's done in our life, think of what he can do. And think of what he does. What he does. Be a memorial. Because he's perfect. Because he's always the same as he always has been. And it says here throughout all generations. All generations. You know, I think this word in the Hebrew memorial, it implies a commemoration. Or it means to mark, to celebrate, to have in memory, to have. It even has the word, when I looked it up in the Hebrew, it has the word scent in there. You know how sometimes a scent can help you to remind you of something, makes you think of something. Well, you know, you and I need to be that scent to help people think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the Lord God Almighty. Be that it helps them come back to that memory in their life sometime or another. Or help them to know that. Because, you know, a lot of people get taught things as a kid. We just had graduation down here this past week at the daycare of the K-4 class going into kindergarten. And boy, those kids said some Bible verses. Those kids did a lot of things. But I hope they stick in their life and hope that stays with them. Why? They need to get saved. If they're not saved, they might not be of that age that they're saved yet. But they know Bible verses. They know who God is because they've been taught that in their first 4 years, so to speak, down here at the daycare. But, you know, they need some time in their life to be reminded, to come to remembrance maybe of some of the things they learned as a kid. And like I said, people can't get saved on their deathbeds, I believe. But, you know, we have these memorials in our land. We have these, but you and I need to do our best to be a memorial for God. How can we be a memorial for God? Do you know how we can be a memorial for God? Like I said, we've already doing it today, I think, by just coming to church. Coming to church. How many people have neighbors that don't go to church and they see you leave every Sunday and go to church? That can be a memorial to the Lord God Almighty. That can be just showing forth, hey, why are they going to church? Maybe I want to go. Maybe I want to see what they're going there for. You know, we celebrate different things with our life, but we ought to be celebrating and worshiping the Lord. And look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and here's something that I think can help us to be a memorial to the Lord. Listen to this. Philippians 2, begin verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Did you see this scripture here? Be like Christ. Have that same mind. It says here that you be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights. Shine as lights. Be a memorial to the Lord God Almighty. Be a memorial to Jesus Christ. And here's something else I want to mention to you. Verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? Well, your salvation is worked in by God, isn't it? God puts it there through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God. You work it out by showing forth that I am a child of God. You work it out. You know, if you got something that you can't work it in yourself, God works it in, but you can work it out. Just show it forth. Work it out. You know, I'd like to do more workout than I do. I don't do enough workout. I don't have muscles on top of muscles like some people do. But you know, working out for the Lord is the right thing to do. Work out our own salvation. Show it forth is what it means. It don't mean to go get it on your own. You can't get it on your own. A lot of people say you got to work it out. You got to do your part. I'm glad it's all in Jesus, aren't you? I'm glad it's all in what he's done. It's not a thing that I can do to attain it. It's not a thing I can do to keep it. He helps me to keep it. He causes me to keep it. And I'm glad it's for eternity. I'm glad I'm not of that congregation of people that want to believe you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Boy, that'd be a pitiful life to live, I think. I'm glad that I can say I'm saved in Jesus and the work that he's done for me. Are we a memorial for the Lord God Almighty? Are we a memorial for Jesus? Can we be? Now, here's another thought to think about. Why should we be a memorial? The last part of that verse, 13, says, unto all generations. Haley's back there with a little baby, Carly. That's another generation that's going to be coming. We need to be a memorial because it needs to go to all generations. All generations. Often, years ago, I did a study on the book of all the kings in Israel. And I often thought, how can a king be good and then the next king be bad? How can a king be good and the next king be bad? But you know, somebody dropped the ball, so to speak. Somebody didn't talk enough about God. Somebody didn't worship and praise the Lord enough. Somebody didn't do their part. Therefore, the next king that came along wasn't what he should be for God. You and I need to be what we need to be because it needs to go into all generations. All generations. Are we praising God with our life? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's try to be a memorial the best that we can. It certainly is good to be here today. Patsy, come to the piano. We'll have a moment of silence so you can have a word of prayer with the Lord there that you see if you want to, or you can come to the altar, whichever you need to do. So please think about that for a little bit.